Lord, these few minutes, ever since we've been here, it's been you. We acknowledge you. You said, blessed are those who not seen, yet they believe. Please bless us, Lord. Bless us with your word. Bless us with your wisdom. Father, as we reduce, please increase, O Lord. Reveal your son to us, because you have put the embodiment of all things in Jesus alone. He's all things unto us. I pray, Lord, that Christ will be magnified in our hearts. Pray that the shepherd will fill our hearts. His peace will be with us. Borrow us of his wisdom. Your word says, and of his glory, of his fullness we have received from glory unto glory. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Lord, please give us of your fullness from glory to glory this morning, Lord. Lord, you said, if we do not believe the things of earth, how can we believe the things of heaven? Please teach us the things of heaven. As we gather, I get a sense that many of our minds are still filled with the things of earth. But I thank you, because you know that, and you sent your word and your spirit to teach us. We're ready. Please teach us. Let your word be bearable today, Lord. Let it not be too heavy in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Blessed are you, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And, okay, Sister Comfort, we greet you. Brother Shama, Brother Ephraim, and Sister Bathia, we salute you. Sister Success, you might be in the overflow. If you are home, we greet you. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Kike, where's Sister Kike? She's at home. Sister Kike, we love you. We greet you. Brother Usman, whatever you brought from Japan, we're still expecting it. We greet you. Mommy in Nigeria. Mommy is here. Mommy, we greet you. We look forward to seeing you here. Oh, mommy is in Nigeria. I thought so now. You said yes now. Mommy, sorry, it's Olumide, what's your name again? Layemi, that is confusing us. Keke, who is Keke? Oh, Kek, how are you? We love you. Thanks for joining. So we bless the Lord. Sister Bolanle, how are you? We look forward to seeing you. Haven't you received the executive order that there is no remote church anymore? So, so we praise the Lord for his mercy and his kindness. Last week, we began to reflect on how we need to, and I think it's everybody's. Douglas, I greet you. Thanks for coming again. That there's a need for us not to stand still. The hunger for every Christian is not to be stagnant, but to grow. And we started talking about how we may grow. And there are so many keys to growth. But we began to think about some things that I think are, at least in our day and time now, are the keys for any believer in our days to grow. Certain things that I think, at least as of, Sister Bola, well done. You got the executive order. Well done. Right. We must grow. I think there's a deficit of a desire and a hunger to grow. Even when we are born again, God expects us to do what? To grow. He says the trees must bear fruit, and the fruit must increase and abide. Yes. And we began to look at ourselves and say, what are the things necessary? Last week, we talked about the number one thing that I think is the biggest impediment, at least in our time, to growth, is we Christians no longer have a sense or a need to repent. I don't even know whether we still believe that Christians sin. And yet, in Romans 6, it says, shall we abide in sin and say that grace should abound? In the book of Isaiah, I think it's 59, it said, the hands of the Lord are not short. It is the sin of his people that keep him, and his ears are not dull. What I notice in our time is that we Christians, unlike before, we don't have a heart of repentance anymore. And yet, God has provided a way of escape from the punishment from sin through the blood of Jesus, but we do not use it. So we challenged ourselves last week that we should not be proud, that we should repent, even in the Lord's Prayer. And this prayer was being said to his disciples. It says, forgive us our trespasses. It's a prayer of repentance. As John the Baptist was talking to the religious leaders of those days, he said, repent and make sure that you bring forth fruits that align with repentance. But I don't hear that much anymore. It might be because we are not really aware of our sins at times. Maybe we think that only drunkards have something to repent about, that only prostitutes have drunk something to repent about. But if we truly examine our lives, we will see that every day our hearts will be humbled and we'll repent before the Lord. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he felt unworthy. On the Isle of Patmos, or when John saw the Lord, he felt unclean. Honestly, the evidence of whether you really know God or not is how do you feel about yourself? When you know Jesus, you tend to decrease and Christ will increase in you. He says he rejects those who are proud, but those who have a humble heart, he will draw them unto him. In Psalm 51, he said, the meek and contrite spirit, the Lord will not despise. In Luke chapter 18, he talked about two people praying, one of them saying, oh, I am a Christian now. I'm paraphrasing in the New Testament. Oh, here comes our gift from Japan. Go, Brother Usman, go. Two people came to the Lord. One said, I'm already born again. I speak in tongues. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I fast and pray every day. I'm in the choir. I've been born again for a long time. I read my Bible. I've read it. I read the Bible through every year. Another said, I'm a miserable sinner, Lord. I'm not even worthy to be kneeling in front of you. Please have mercy on me. And Jesus said, which one of these two people do you think God will listen to? The golden gift of repentance. It is not sin that takes you to hell. It is unrepented sin, because Jesus has provided a solution to sins. He said, but my people will not. In the New Testament, so I said, examine yourself whether you are still in faith. And one philosopher said that the unexamined life is not worth leading. I think we Christians, in fact, in the book of 1 Peter, I believe it is, I forget, it says, now is the time that judgment must come to the house of the Lord. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will be the end of those who have not believed the truth? It really is time for Christians to examine ourselves whether we're still in faith. That sense of examination is what will bring repentance. And we said that is the key. God is waiting. Is it 2 Chronicles 2? That says, if my people who are called by my name, that's the key. We are all praying that our land will be healed. But the key to it is repentance, to be broken. It's a joyful thing when you see someone broken before the Lord. But there are lots of unbroken Christians today. And God is waiting. We went through several verses that what the Lord Jesus Christ said they should go about preaching is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is so important. Even we know that repentance is important. How would you like to live with a partner that does not like to apologize for what they did wrong? I've had too many marriage or relationship situations. He finds it difficult to say sorry. I just need him or her to say sorry. Why do we men and women find it difficult to repent? We want forgiveness, but we don't want to repent. But can there be repentance, forgiveness without repentance? God is loving and kind. But we read a passage later, he says, do not forget that the mercy and kindness of God is to bring you to what? Repentance. The transaction is complete when our humility meets with God's generosity. So please, I hope we went back to really study on repentance. We live in a very, very dangerous times. That's key number one. God is loving and kind, but we need to humble ourselves. You cannot just, the Bible says that he that covers his sin will not prosper, but he that confesses it will receive mercy. This is the word of the Lord, church. We live in dangerous times. Key number two that I want to talk about today is love. And it's so important that we talk about, I think it is so important for us as church people to talk about love. We live in extremely dangerous times. If we want to grow deeper, in fact, when you say, I want to grow in Jesus, what do you think you're saying? When you say, I want to grow in Jesus, are you saying that you want to speak in tongues more? Is what you're saying that you want to perform miracles? I'm just asking. When you say, I want to grow in Jesus, does it mean you want to evangelize more? Is that what it means? I dare to say that when you say, I want to grow in Jesus, grow in the Lord, what you're actually saying is, I want to love more because God is love. The evidence of growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, write it down, we won't read it today. It says, you may speak with tongues of men and angels. You may know all the mysteries of the Bible. You may even be so zealous that you give your body to be burnt at stake. If you do not have love, you have nothing. Every time you pray and you say, I want to know Jesus more, what you're essentially saying is, I want to love more. The Bible calls love the bond of perfection. And we're going to examine that a little bit more. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 23, if you can pull it up. The main phrase I want to pull up there is, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We live in dangerous times. We live in religious times. We live in times when a lot of doctrines will come at us. The only people who will be saved in our time are people whose faith are anchored in love. Going deeper in Christ means going deeper in love. God is love, and that's a very deep statement. We're going to explore that a little bit more today. Christianity is all about love. Now, so we must not measure our progress in Christ by the manifestation of gifts, but rather by growth in love, as it's told us in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the entire teaching there, right? Now, we're going to look at what Jesus Christ taught us about what love really is. Because when we say we should grow in love, the next question is, what then is love? Well, someone asked that. Luke chapter 10. Did I say we should pull up something? And I never bothered to read it, right? That's okay. Let's go to Luke. Write that down. I'm looking at the clock. I don't want to keep us. One day, and this is the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, an expert in the law in Luke chapter 10. Did you please bring that up? Let me just open it up real quick. I'll start reading from verse 25. Behold, verse 25. A lawyer, another translation says an expert in the law, stood up and he was testing Jesus and he said, teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, okay, but what is written in your law and how do you understand it? I always loved that statement. And the lawyer said to the Lord, he says that I must love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all of my mind, and I must love my neighbor as myself. He understood that love was necessary, right? And did Jesus say, no, you got the answer wrong? What did Jesus say? You have answered right. Essentially, that's the correct answer. I'm glad you know that. And don't you wish that this man had gone away that day without asking any other question? But that is us. We really always want to prove that we know the answer before the Lord because we've read. He was an expert in the law because we've read the Bible. And I'm glad that man did not stop. Because a lot of us really need to go beyond the theory to the practice of love today. What we have done in church up until now mostly is the theory of love. This man wanting to justify himself said to Jesus, then who is my neighbor? We live in very critical times before I read this story to you. For those of you who love history, there's been time in the history of mankind that the church has been called to rise up to a higher standard of love, and we have failed. Go to 1938, 1939 to 1944, shortly before the First World War. We failed. Go to the times of Christ, when there was a religious structure in Israel, and the church leaders were more interested in casting a rock at a woman caught in adultery than in lifting her up. And it took the Lord Jesus Christ to point out that she shouldn't be an object of hate, especially from the leaders. She should be an object of love. Many, many times we've ignored the weaker, smaller people among us, and we've catered to the strength of the strong among us. But Jesus teaches practical love. What I don't find, and what many believers we say they don't find within the church, is practical love. They find theoretical love. All our songs talk about love. I don't think I've ever entered a church that sang about hate one another. It's so good to hate one another. We sing about it, we preach about it, but do we practice it? He wanted to justify himself. We justify ourselves also by tokens of love, not hearts of love. We put together little charities so that we will fulfill the righteousness of love. But it's a very program anchored in the love, sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we really feel tenderly towards the lowly among us? Who is our neighbor? It's easy for me to preach, to point to Barashegu. He's very cute. He smells like me. We have similar background. But when the Lord talks about my neighbor, does it really mean only people like Ibrahim or like Mommy and Brother Shego? And I can justify myself because I visited with him on Thanksgiving Day, which I suspect was even a bother, really. But he accommodated us. Love. What did Jesus, who did Jesus mean by your neighbor? Jesus answered verse 30. Let me tell you a story about what I mean by your neighbor, says the Lord. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. These thieves stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, and left him as half dead. But by chance, a priest came down. A pastor came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed the other side. An apostle, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side. Many Christians came and they passed by the other side. They went to church. They were already late for choir practice and prayer meeting. But a certain Samaritan, do you know who a Samaritan is? Let's go quickly to John chapter 4. Let's see. Did we have a glimpse in John chapter 4, the relationship between a Jew and a Samaritan? Before we go back to that story. Samaritan woman asks a question of the Lord. In verse 9, remember the story? But there's a question that gives you an insight here as to relationship between Jews and Samaritans. It said, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. They were enemies. They had no dealings with one another, Jews and Samaritans. So this man that fell among thieves, a Samaritan came along. In verse 33, he saw him and he had compassion on him. So he went to him, he bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine. He set him on his own animal. This was a Samaritan to a Jew. He brought him to an inn. I'll just call it hospital in this case. And he took care of him. On the next day when he left, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the doctor, innkeeper, and said to him, take care of this Jew. Even if you spend more money, I will come and I will pay you more. And the Lord is asking us as Christians, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to he who fell among thieves? The one who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Love is action. When we say that we want to grow in God, we're saying that we want to be able to love sacrificially like Jesus loved. We have to get out of our comfort zones if we want to grow. As long as we are content that our lives will not be upset, as well as we are content to bless those who bless us, to love those who love us, to hang with those who hang with us, as long as we are not ready to step out and begin to get hurt, sacrificial, to expand our definitions of neighbor, we'll be missing a key to spiritual growth. I remember the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. After everything we did to him, forgive them, O Lord, for they do not know. We must be ready to make excuses. The call to Christian growth is the call to make excuses for your enemies. The call to find a reason to forgive, not a reason to avenge. For vengeance is the Lord. When we do this, then we're ready for higher tasks for Jesus Christ. As you kneel down and pray, expand your definition of neighbor. Listen, there will come a time in the church, I don't know how the Lord will drive this, that Christians will be used as an instrument of hate. The time is coming when the church will be the face of oppression. It will not be new. It has happened before. I can tell you the story of the German church versus the Confession Church in Germany. It happened several times before. When the main harm of oppression to the weak, to the needy, to the strangers will be the church. Are you ready to love? Many saints said they wish they were ready, prepared before the time came. We are preparing you now. They will ask you whether you will hide or you will be the face of oppression. The time will come. The time will come whether they will give you even spiritual justification to hate your neighbor because he does not look like you or smell like you or walk like you, or because your self-interest will be impaired by showing compassion. Where will you stand? Where will you stand? I repeat again, the time will come when they will open the Bible and show you verses that will justify hate. New Covenant Church, where will you stand? The time will come when they will use your tool to protect oppression. New Covenant Church, when the lives of men and women may be in your hands, where will you stand? Jesus, we want to see whether you will consider other people's children your own, other people's mother your own, whether you will love your neighbor as you what? Love yourself. Where will you stand, brethren? Where will you stand? God is love. The Bible says if you see a man in John, 1 John chapter 3, who has, if you have this life's goods, and you see a man in need, and you say to the man, bless you, the Lord provide, and you do not attend to their need, then how then does the love of God dwell in you? If you do not love the man whom you see, how can you possibly claim you love God who you do not see? The chances are that if you were in Jerusalem on that day, you'll be part of the crowd saying, crucify him, because that was the popular thing to say. It's so convenient to love. He said, love not. In 1 John chapter 4, he said, therefore, do not love in words alone, but in truth and in deed. Brethren, everybody is a Christian. But very soon, the goat and the sheep will be separated. Are you praying? Are you praying? Everybody's faith will be tested as by fire. Will you stand? Jesus said, there'll come a time when I will shake not just the heavens, but the heavens and the earth. Christian maturity. That's when true saints will be known. Those who do not cater to convenience alone. Are you ready, brothers and sisters, to follow the path of Jesus, who was a sacrificial lover? For God so loved the world, he gave himself. True Christianity, there will come a time when this Christianity of praying that I will have money, praying that I will have, praying for this flesh that will die, will no longer stand. When it will be those who truly love the Lord and love their neighbors that will stand. Love. Love, the bond of perfection. None of us naturally love. The Bible teaches us that the love of God is spread in our hearts by the Holy Ghost whom he has given to us. When you kneel down and pray, are you still praying for nickels and dimes? For trinkets and necklaces? For the body that perishes? Are you praying for the Holy Ghost who can help you to love your enemies as yourself? Said, if you love those who love you, what have you done that is different? Everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry loves to attend birthdays and celebrate and give presents to those who give them presents. But if you love your enemies, ooh, that's when you know God is at work in you. I'm deficient in love. I will confess that. That's my confession. The Lord daily shows me why my weakness is in love. And I lean on his grace to make me. I know what I want. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Paul praying for the church. He said that their love should grow stronger and stronger in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That means if someone comes to you quoting scriptures, Don't be impressed. See whether their love is at par with their scriptural quoting. It's possible to grow in knowledge, to write many Bible, many books in the name of Jesus, and you are nothing. But there's not a soul that is full of love that does not have God in him. Grow in love. The scripture says that we should grow more and more in love every day. Let brotherly love continue. Love one another. As you go away today, pursue love, which is the bond of perfection. That's the key. That's what Christian growth means. That means I'll be insulted and I will not insult the person back. That means I'll be slapped on one cheek, and rather than the regular anger, I will find myself, forgive them, O Lord, saying, for they do not know. But if you are content just to remain the way you are, that's not the deeper life. Pray that God will give you something more. Something that Jesus demonstrated in his life to us. That is real Christianity. Do you wonder why people are not getting born again? They are hearing the scriptures, they are not seeing it. In places where believers are being persecuted, where horrible things are happening, miracles happen. People have seen people curse one another for just reasons. What they've never seen is someone bless someone who has just cursed them. That was the life of Jesus, a just man. May we grow in love. The Christian call, the key to a deeper walk with Jesus, is to pursue love and holiness, without which no man will see God. Love. Practice love. Forgive those who offend you. Pray for God. Even if you can't forgive, very well. Remember that as of today, you can't forgive. Remember that as of today, you are mad and angry. You have people angry with you. I want you to remember and write it in your books. As you pray about it, because the day will come when God will fill you with love and you will forget the kind of person you've been. But I want you to remember, because God, Paul says something as I close. He said, this is good teaching that is worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came to die for sinners, of whom I am the chief. Jesus loves sinners. What he wants us to do is what you lack. Ask him. He said, I will give the Holy Spirit to whoever does what? Asks. But he said, you have not received because you have not. And when I come to your prayer meetings and you're asking, the things I'm hearing from you are what? Things that you consume upon your lust. Said, these are things that will ask me for the Spirit. Ask me for nations. You ask for another job, you get another job. You notice that the wahala is in the, what chased you from the old one is waiting for you in the, because our peace is not in the job. You start a business and you see there's no more peace in business than there is in employment. Because peace is not in money. It's not in situation. Because there are people in the situation you are running from that have the peace of God upon them. So you have not received because you are asking amiss. You are not asking for the right thing. Let's ask that we may grow in the love of God. Don't worry. Don't worry. God knows your flaws. You can't hide from him. You can hide from one another, but who can hide from God? If he cuckoo sees us, why don't we just go before him and lay it all before him? He loves us. He loves sinners. May the Lord bless his word today. Father, please fill our hearts with your love and your grace, O Lord, and give to us the grace to love one another. This is your teaching. And we confess that we fail in this. We start with our confession. We confess that many times our Christianity is selfish. But I thank you because you have given the Spirit to teach us the right thing and to help us and to sanctify us and to spread your love abroad in our hearts. As we desire this, we pray, Lord, that there will be a manifestation of more love. That those in darkness will look at us and say, surely the light of Jesus is in us. He said, your Holy Spirit will strengthen us with might in our inner man. And being rooted and grounded in love, we'll know together with all the saints what is the length and the breadth, and be filled with your fullness. Father, please do this in Jesus' name. Today, I'm not asking for houses. All those things are good. Do not deny us, Father. But I ask that you give us love that brings peace, that gladdens your heart, and allows us to be good witnesses to your kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.